Doing a gospel meeting in Gadsden, Alabama today, so you are stuck with the abnormal preacher, all right? But as we begin, you like that, didn't you, John Bearden? As we begin, if you have your Bibles, will you hold them up high? I don't care if it's a paper copy, iPad, iPhone, whatever. I want y'all to look around for a second, okay? You cannot come to a Bible study without your Bible. But what that also does is that lets the enemy know that you are serious about taking him down as a family, as a collective body. Amen? Oh, y'all ready to get started? Last year for spring break, my family and I went on a once-in-a-lifetime vacation to Yosemite National Park and Sequoia National Park. I had done a huge project in college about Yosemite, and the only thing that I could remember were about the waterfalls and to not feed the bears. One researcher stated that a tourist documented that one bear ate 72 flapjacks in one sitting. Okay? It just created a huge mess. But of course, a mess is always created when we're doing something that we shouldn't, right? But I had dreamed of going to these parks and meandering up those mountain roads and enjoying these moments with my family. And this is what we saw. We saw Half Dome in the distance and incredible sunsets and just beautiful mountain scenes. We thought when we would be driving through Yosemite that we would be driving through feet of snow. We didn't. Matter of fact, we didn't see any snow except this one patch. So we pulled off to the side of the road and we let the kids, we all played in a little bit. And we even built a little snowman, called it Terry, and even put a little moss mustache on it. How about that? But after that, about 3 hours from Yosemite, we visited Sequoia National Park. Had breathtaking, gorgeous scenery. Sequoia houses the largest trees on the planet. The cedar smells penetrate the entire countryside. Guys, I felt like an Ewok next to these. You can kind of see the resemblance with the goatees, at least the colors now. But like Ron and Becky can vouch for, it's hard to get pictures of something that enormous because they are just so big. You can't capture it. But then it got me thinking about us. Because, you see, every now and then you would see one of these massive giants that had toppled over years before, destroying everything in its path. And what was left behind were the three dreaded D's, destruction, death, and decay. And that's why it got me thinking about me and us as a church family, because It has everything to do with the dreams and the plans God has for us. But also, the reason I took this one on the left, that just looks like an evil tree, doesn't it? Because I know that Satan's desire is to topple over each one of us. Topple over God's dreams to cause destruction, death, and decay in each one of us individually and collectively as a body. So how does Satan do it? How is he so successful at robbing us of our hope and joy through his primary purpose of manipulation and deceit? How does he do it? One word. Any guesses? Let me give you a hint. Okay? Some of it, we might say, oh, the sin is big. Some of it, we might think that, oh, this is just a little sin. It's all around us. God says, I don't see any difference in any of it. It's all the same to me. Matter of fact, the one thing that God calls Satan is a liar, is a thief, okay? In John 10, verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Sin does not start out as enormous as a giant sequoia. Let me show you what it does start out as. A tiny little pine cone. You see that? A tiny little pine cone can fit in the tiny little palm of my hand. And while we are walking all over Sequoia, I notice these gals everywhere. And not only did I notice these, but I also noticed these. Okay? And matter of fact, once we were in Sequoia, I just went around and they were everywhere. So I would go and start picking them all up and you know, where you do the shirt thing and you're putting them all in the pouch of your shirt. And that's what we were doing, and Jackson was doing it. We had them all. But I tell you what, when we came across these, you tell me, which one is more impressive, huh? The tiny little one or the big one? So what we were doing with the little ones, we were just kind of throwing them out, right? I did stick one in my pocket, and I kept it there. But then we start taking all these. And then the next thing I notice is a little tap on my shoulder from a gentleman with a badge in the national park. Okay? And what we found out was that it was illegal to remove anything from a national park. So he then told us that we had to put each one of them back exactly where we found it. All right? But he also told us, but I will let y'all know that it's not illegal to remove a few items from the National Forest, which was right next door. So we thought, yes! Okay? So that's why we brought three home, one for Whitney and the kids, and we brought a little pine cone home. Now we have one for each member of the family. Isn't that incredible? Well, you'll see in just a second why I am sharing this with you. Because when we toured the visitor center, I thought this whole time that this giant pine cone was from the giant sequoia. It's not. This big one is from the sugar pine. It's much less impressive and much smaller. But this little baby forms these giant, massive trees. You got it? Why do I tell you that? Getting back to sin. Because, you know, in all of our lives, this is what sin does. It appears, and then for a time it disappears. And then before you know it, it reappears and rears its ugly head again. But after going to Sequoia National Park, we came across this. And this is exactly what triggered this whole thought for this lesson. There was a tiny underground spring. It was hidden by the grass. It was like a little secret. All right? And as we were walking by, Tyler was getting frustrated because he was like, what are they talking about? I don't see this. And he saw a sign of the Michigan tree. Of the Michigan tree. And it says this: this tree was once known as the spring tree, because of the spring at its base. The same spring undermined the tree, causing it to fall in 1931. Right next to this sign, we came across another one, because the Michigan tree, guys, it was over 250 feet tall. It was 20 feet wide at the base. It's older than all of us and our grandparents. And you see this tiny underground spring? That's what took that giant down. The sign next to it read this: "Fell without warning. The weather was clear with no wind. Sequoias lose their balance and fall when their shallow root systems are weakened by fire, erosion, or very wet soil." And I thought, that hurts. Because that is the very characteristics of what sin does to each one of us, isn't it? Who is your anchor? You know, that sequoia, the reason it fell is because that tiny little underground spring had totally saturated its root system. And those roots were no longer able to provide the stability to keep that thing growing. And it falls over, creates death, destruction, and decay. Who is your anchor? Is it God or is it Satan? Look at what Hebrews 6 verses 17 through 20 says. And this will give you a good indication of who your anchor is. "Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain, where our forerunner Jesus has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." If we aren't anchored deep to the hope that we have in Jesus, our roots are shallow. And it is only a matter of time before death, destruction, and decay occur in our own life. Who is your anchor? Remember the tiny underground spring? Guys, we've got to realize that that tiny underground spring is exactly what Satan desires to be in our life. And he just needs one. He just needs one. And he says, "Come on. Just come and spend one night out with me. Just give me one look. Just give me one click on that keyboard. Just give me one thought in your mind, one rationalization, one excuse, one compromise, one lie. Give me one drink. Give me one hit. Give me one pill." And his main goal is to hook us through that one. Satan does not need much to start the control of our minds and our hearts, does he? And I get so sick of him because he is notorious for being a sin saturator, just like the Michigan tree. That tree was doing so great. It was growing. It was just doing exactly what it was supposed to do. And the next thing you know, everything underneath those roots were getting absolutely saturated. So even on what seemed like a beautiful day outside, the roots could no longer support it, and it falls. Who are you anchored to? Because when I think of Satan being a sin saturator, and on the other side, God is saying, "No! I love you guys. I love you, Don Jennery. I love you, Bill Jones. I love you, Michael Dillard. Okay, let me be your one." That's what God says. Don't let Satan fool you. Let me be your one, Kennedy Cromings. You got it? And this is how he says that. "Love me with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Love me with everything you got." Amen? That's what he says. That's how he becomes our one. And then you have this. Have you ever come to the point where you just cry out to God and say, God, how in the world do I break free from Satan's control in my life? Philippians 4 verses 6 through 9 tells you. Can y'all see that up there? All right, good. I'm going to just read this for you. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you, and you will anchor deep. You want to develop that deep taproot into Jesus Christ? God says in verse 6, family, we got to be prayed up. We got to be a prayerful people. If you want to continue developing that taproot, this is a list of what he says we need to be about. Pray through those moments that God will be your one. Pray through those moments that he will keep you true to your vow to him, and that vow can be relied on. Pray that he will keep you noble. What that means, pray that he will keep you honest, to be an honest person. Pray that God will help you to anchor to what is right, that we will be aligned with him. Pray that God will keep you pure, morally, physically, spiritually, and emotionally. No more guilt, no more shame. How awesome is that? Pray that God will help you to be lovely. He will help you to be attractive. That the things he views as beautiful will be you. And that God will help you to be admirable. That the things that you say and think are fit for God to hear. Let God be your focus. Let God be your one. We're in good shape. I always love object lessons. It helps me to remember, and I want to share this with y'all, but I need one volunteer that has no health problems. They've got to be physically fit, and just one volunteer, Dimitri Sims. Dimitri, you here? Come on, buddy. Get Dimitri up here. Come on, Dimitri. All right. This is what we're going to do. Dimitri, I have thousands of feet of rope here. And in my truck, I have 832 more rolls just like this. Okay? Now you're going to take this. And this is what I want you to do with this. All right? I want you to run all around this side of the teen area, stay inside the auditorium, go all the way to this side, come all the way up here, and I am going to meet you right here, okay? Now, this is the only time. I know we aren't supposed to run in here, but because we're pushed for time, this is the only time I'm giving you permission to run in here, all right? Ready? Go. Good night. Uh-oh. We're all tangled up already. Already. Here we go. There goes Dimitri. How those toothpicks keep that boy up, I have no idea. Keep going, Big D. You're doing great, man. All right? Remember what the question is. How do we keep our focus on God, okay, and not allow Satan to come after us and destroy us, all right? Yeah. Did he not do a good job? All right, now what I need you to do, because you aren't even a third of the way, my truck is right out here, okay? I have all these other roles. I want you to go up this center aisle, head out to my truck, gather them up, okay? You go to Highway 31. I don't care if you go north or south, Dimitri, okay? But all I've got to say, every single one of these roles need to be emptied by the time you come back. All right? Okay, go, go. Here, hold on. Let me, yeah, all right, now you're ready. At Dimitri, I tell you, that's why I told you he had to be physically fit, right? Okay, he's gone. He's out of here. Look, he is gone. I'm like, all right, okay. And my earpiece is gone too. I am so thankful for guys like Francis Chan, who to me, he is already back, ladies and gentlemen. To me, he is brilliant when it comes to object lessons. Okay? This rope represents the timeline of eternity. All right, this little tiny red part here represents the timeline of our life. All right, and when I think about that, it just blows my mind when we allow this red part to control us and to consume us. All right, because you know what God is saying? Guys, you are so focused on this, and I am giving you all of this. Guys, wherever you look, we've got eternity in mind. And Paul says this, to live is Christ, to die is gain, right? And what is so awesome about that is Paul lived with that thought process. He prepared his life for this thought process. And the thing is, Paul didn't need a medal or a trophy to spur him on, did he? His spur was heaven. But you do see Paul saying things like this, I want to know Christ. I want to know the power of his resurrection, participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. And so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead, not that I have already obtained all this or have arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that which for Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. To live is Christ, to die is gain. To die is gain. My job is to help us think this way and to encourage us to live this way. You know, Paul would use every muscle of exertion, every thought, every action to make certain that he was there. So here we have the rope, and we've got just a few short years on this earth, and then we've got the rest of this, right? But the problem is that this is all we think about so often. And God says, are you kidding me? What about all this? Right? And it's everywhere. What about all this? Oh, and he says, will you just focus and pay attention to what I have in store for you? Because when we meet him face to face, we don't get this chance again. All right? And we have got to get to the point that we say, you know what, Satan? I will not be fooled by your crazy deception. I am so sick and tired of you. But we also know that it's when the storms and the distractions hit that we tend to find ourselves being absorbed by the red. And I've had people say to me, you know, Scott, you aren't too smart. And, well, tell me something I don't know. All right? But they say, well, you know what? If you don't save this, then I tell you what, that's going to affect this. And if you don't do this, then that's going to affect this. And I say, well, you aren't too bright either. Because if you are only focused on this, it is going to affect this. You got it? If you understand, say, got it. Thank you, Big D. He's worn out over there. Let me close with this thought. The most amazing thing to me about these sequoias are their resiliency to heal over quickly from the storms around them, especially when they've been affected by fire. They bear the scars, but the scars don't define them. What defines them is their growth. That's why millions of visitors travel all over the country to come see these giant sequoias, to see how magnificent they are. Guys, if you need help to generate or regenerate that deep taproot in your own life, we're here for you. There are a couple of men that are going to be getting up, and they're going to be walking down here. A few more elders will be out here in the balcony. You know why they're here? I mean, in the foyer? They are here to greet you. They are here because they love you. And I guarantee you they will love on you a lot, and they will pray for you even more. If you need help, if you're ready to give him your life, put him on in baptism to say, you know, God, everything. He is ready to give you life to the full. If you need help, please don't hesitate. Come now, while together we stand and sing.
And if you've been through for the cleansing power, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His graces? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Well, good morning. It is great to see each and every one of you here. I know y'all know what I'm going to say, because y'all are all thinking it too, but I'm going to say it anyway. How blessed are we to have so many great preachers, with Dwayne being out of town, to have Scott here, as well as Tony and David. We are truly blessed, and just don't want to take that blessing for granted. It is so incredible. You did an awesome job, Scott. If you didn't get a chance to already, please take one of the cards in front of you. Members, fill out the blue sides. Visitors, please fill out the red side so we'll have a record of your attendance. We have some young men coming around to pick those up. If you were here two Sunday nights ago, you may have been here to see Steve Miner come forward looking for a church home. Well, he has found his church home. He placed membership this past Sunday. So if you have not gotten a chance to meet him, please do so. He's right back here. If you raise your hand, Steve, it's great to see you. Also, ladies, y'all have a very special night this Tuesday night. Brenda Scott will be speaking at the ladies' night here in the reception room. So please take an opportunity to sign up for that. And I want to make sure each one of y'all grab one of these and take a look at the summer mission trip section of this, because our teens are so awesome. They are doing so much this summer, as they do every summer. And we have an opportunity to donate to that, but also to pray for them. And please remember to do that, because they do need our prayers. And all of the things that they're going to be doing, they're going to be doing a lot of traveling and just reaching out to a lot of people. So please remember that. Also, today there's a bridal tea for Sydney Palmer, the bride-elect of Lee Carter, from 1:30 to 3. And tonight, groups 2 and 7 will be having a fellowship night. That's all we have for today. Bible class starts at 9:30. Please don't let Satan make you concentrate on that little bitty section of the eternity that is us. Let's press on toward the goal.